Today, listen, you can hear home prices falling. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World Notice Post covering finance and property news. The mythology that home prices always rise has been busted before because the high-level indices, which are at the fixation of the media, ignore the real variations at a granular level. The latest data from CoreLogic shows that at the aggregate level, there were small falls in Canberra, Darwin, Hobart, and Melbourne, while there were stronger rises in Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth, especially Perth, and a small rise in Sydney. This is in their most recent monthly update. Now, at the national level, it's also worth noting that property prices are taking longer to sell, with the median time on market rising from a recent low of 27 days over the 3 months to April to 34 days over the 3 months to August. Perth, at 11 days, continues to record the shortest selling times, although the median has risen slightly from the 9 days that took to sell a property over the 3 months to July. And they also showed that new listing levels continue to hold above average, with 39,994 new listings observed nationally over the 4 weeks to September the 1st. Winter, historically, they say, has been a seasonally slow period for listings. However, listings activity over the final month of the winter was 4% above the time last year and 16.7% above the previous five-year average. But now the people at CoreLogic, who release one of the main indicators of prices, included in their housing chart pack the September chart of the month, which took a granular look at value falls over the 3 months to August from a quarterly study of 3,655 suburbs across the country. And they found that house prices in almost one third, actually 29.2%, had fallen. In comparison, in the 3 months to August last year, prices had dropped in 17.2% of suburbs. And they say that Melbourne at 79.1% and regional Victorian suburbs at 73.8% made up the majority of the falls over the quarter. Values did also decrease across more than half of the suburbs in Hobart at 54.3%, Darwin at 51.2%, and Canberra at 51.6%, while all suburbs in Perth saw values rise across the quarter. And the company said declines were becoming more common as high interest rates, as well as cost of living and affordability challenges, continued. At the state level, they said that price drops in Melbourne and Victorian regional areas were more widespread than any other part of Australia. And in fact, in Melbourne, the value of residential properties declined in nearly 80% of the suburbs analysed by CoreLogic between June and August. Home prices in suburbs such as Crib Point on the Mornington Peninsula and Caulfield East in inner South Melbourne dropped almost 7% and 6% respectively. CoreLogic said, in Melbourne, where almost 80% of suburbs are recording a quarterly decline in value, advertised listing levels are almost 30% above the previous 5 years average at this time of year. Additionally, Melbourne has also seen a healthier flow of new housing stock, adding to the region's overall housing supply and putting downward pressure on values. And in Melbourne, declines were more concentrated in more affluent regions, with 100% of suburbs in the Mornington Peninsula recording decreasing values, while just one suburb in the inner south, Currum, and three suburbs in the inner east, Box Hill, Deep Dean, and Canterbury, saw values rise over the quarter. And a similar pattern played out in regional Victoria, with Ballarat at 100%, Geelong at 97.8%, and Bendigo at 89.3%, recording the highest concentration of falls. And that top of the list, Crib Point, showed that the median price there was close to $750,000, but it fell by more than $50,000 over the past quarter, or down 6.7%. Now, in Sydney, there was also a falling trend, where house values dropped in almost 26% of Sydney suburbs analysed. Prices in the inner west suburb of Rod Point fell the most at 8.1%, driving a median house price of over $3.1 million, down by nearly $300,000. And that was followed by Concord, where a median house price of $2.6 million has declined by nearly $150,000, or 5.2%. CoreLogic said that Sydney has also seen a steady accumulation of advertised supply, from roughly falls of 10% below average at the beginning of the year to 5.4% above the average over the 4 weeks to September the 8th. As supply levels normalise across the city, buyers have had more choice and more power at the negotiation table, taking some of the steam that had previously fed value rises out of the market, resulting in more suburbs starting to record a decline in value. But at the other end of the spectrum, compared to the 3 months to September 2022, where 60.1% of Perth suburbs were in decline, in the 3 months to August 2024, there was not a single suburb analysed where prices had fallen. Across Perth, value increases ranged from a 1.8% rise in Marmion in the city's northwest to 10.6% in Henley Brook in Perth's northeast. And they also said the total advertised supply in Perth is approximately 43% below average. Perth has shown exceptional strength over the past year, with values up 5.7% over the 3 months to August and 24.4% over the past year. Coupled with the shortfall in listings and the strong flow of interstate migrants into Western Australia, its relative affordability compared to Sydney and Brisbane and strong economic conditions had helped keep upward pressure on values. Of course, the question ahead is what's going to happen to the iron ore price and therefore to the economic temperature in the West, but that's an open question. So then the question, of course, becomes, so what's ahead then? Well, of course, this depends on the trajectory of interest rates, remembering that the current higher rates have depressed the typical borrowing capacity of first-time buyers by as much as 40% from just a couple of years back. It's also worth remembering that inflation in Australia remains significantly higher than in many other countries, so the RBA is sticking to its view that there will be no rate cuts anytime soon. And the trajectory of employment, and more specifically job losses, will be important as well. In fact, Sarah Hunter, the RBA's economist, said in a speech this week, in a downturn, particularly in a more severe downturn, firms may also turn to layoffs to reduce labour costs. This would further raise the unemployment rate. Past downturns tell us that firms resist laying off staff, if possible, as they try to avoid the costs associated with rehiring and reskilling workers as the economic outlook improves. The layoffs rate has been trending up recently, but it remains very low by historical standards. Our assessment is that this is consistent with the labour market loosening from very tight conditions, but it is still operating above full employment. And then, of course, there is future demand driven by both migrants. Migration is still way above long-term averages, and demand from property investors who have been piling in, judging by recent credit stats. And the rate of supply of properties for sale, as some stay put for longer, while others are perhaps forced to sell, are also part of the mix. Actually, I discussed this in my show on mortgage stress last Tuesday, as about half of mortgage holders have a cash flow issue, and some will indeed be selling. And another source of supply is ex-investment property, where in some places like in Melbourne, net returns are still falling, and there is little prospect of capital appreciation compared with market investments or even term deposit returns. So there's a lot of it depends here. And to try and highlight the sensitivities to interest rates, we run three scenarios and look 3 years out to illustrate how much those sensitives across units and houses by state could vary. And just quickly to recap on our scenarios, we run three. The first, the Goldilocks zone, suggests that rates stay at 4.35%, falls later in 2025, inflation eases in line with RBA expectations, wage rises still continue, and we don't get a recession in Australia, and migration remains strong. The second scenario, which is probably the base case, I call it the soft landing, where rates stay at 4.35% through 2024 and beyond, inflation falls, but then picks up a little, stays above target until 2026. We don't get a recession in Australia, but migration starts to fall away. The worst scenario, the nightmare scenario, is where rates go higher and they stay high through 2025, unemployment rises, wage growth stalls due to a recession in Australia. Rates are cut later, but then it's too late and migration drops away below average. So those are the three we use. And we should highlight again that these are not predictions, they are sensitivities. So at a high level, we can look across the situation nationally. And we can see here that in the best case scenario, there is still an opportunity for price rises over the next 3 years, somewhere between 5% over 12 months and 13.5% over 3 years. However, the base case would suggest more likely a fall, with perhaps a 6% fall over the next 3 years on aggregate. The worst case scenario, the nightmare scenario, is a more significant fall. And if we look at units, they tend to follow the trend, but perhaps hold their value slightly more in a downturn. If we then look at Western Australia, well, in the best case scenario, we could see a 31% rise over 3 years. The base case is a pretty flat story over 3 years. The worst case scenario is a fall of 17% over 3 years. Units would follow the trend, but fall perhaps a little less in the worst case scenario. If we look at Queensland, again, a strong upward momentum in the best case scenario, up 19.7% over 3 years. The base case is flat. The worst case is a fall of around 20% over 3 years. And units tend to follow suit, again, not falling quite as much in a downturn. Looking at South Australia, again, still significant upside with perhaps 22% growth over the next 3 years. That's the best case. The base case is a small rise. The worst case is a fall of about 17%. Units, again, following a similar trajectory. If I look in New South Wales, there is still, in the best case scenario, a rise of perhaps 12% over 3 years, with 4.6% over the first 12 months. However, in the base case scenario, there's a fall of up to 7% over 3 years and a more significant 27%. In the worst case scenario, units, again, follow on quite similarly. And in Victoria, even in the best case scenario, we can only see a very small 4% rise over 3 years. The base case is a fall of 15%, and the worst case is a fall of 35%. Units following similar trends, but not falling quite as much. Briefly, if we touch on then the smaller states in Tasmania, the best case is flat over the next couple of years and then a rise to 4.3% over 3 years. The base case is a fall of 15% over 3 years. The worst case, a fall of 35%. And again, units following similar trends, but falling a little less in the worst case scenario. Now, in the smallest two states, in the ACT, this is the sensitivity question. These are much smaller states, so tend to move around more in my modelling. But from the best case scenario, I see perhaps 2% over the next couple of years, and then a 6% aggregate over 3 years. That's the best case. The base case, a fall of 13%. The worst case, a fall of 33%, and units following along quite closely. And in the Northern Territory, which is, again, very difficult to model because it's such a small state with small numbers, We still think that there is an upside story here in the best case. However, the more likely base case is a small further fall and a more significant drop, perhaps down 21% over 3 years in the worst case scenario, and units follow along quite closely. Now, if you're interested in more detailed analysis, we do this for each postcode across the country. That information is available via our Patreon program. Or if you want details of a particular postcode, if you drop me an email, contact me via the DFA blog, I'll share the data for a specific postcode. This analysis, of course, goes into significant detail in terms of the household mix, the rental stress, mortgage stress, investor stress, and overall financial stress, the property mix, and even things like the disposable monthly income. All of that flows into our modelling of where prices may move. But in summary, the point about this show is to show that even now, there are areas around the country where prices are falling. And I think it's very important, if you are considering purchasing a property, to do due diligence and make sure you understand what you're getting into. Unfortunately, some of those people who are piling into the market now in some places, both investors and first-time buyers, are buying property lemons, and they're the ones most likely to fall. In other areas, price values are more sustainable and there is still some capital appreciation opportunity, but it's certainly not all the same. And therefore, if you simply take the top line indices, you're going to be disappointed quite a lot of the time. Aggregates, of course, mask. Averages don't tell you the full story. So more than ever in the current environment, with the current uncertainties, it's important to go granular and to do your due diligence. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.